are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
Jude 24-25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. So the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks, JC. Well, this is one of my favorite Sundays of the whole year, the one after Christmas, the last Sunday of the year. And for a long time, I've been drawn to this passage out of the book of Jude. And it's so small, this book of the Bible, it doesn't even have chapters, just 25 verses. And Jude's last couple of verses that we just heard seem like just a great way to finish the year together. Not many of us are familiar with the book of Jude. It's so short and obscure. More of us are probably familiar with the Beatles song where we get the message title for today. But as you think about those lines, it's a great sing-along song. Some of them are pretty striking as we make this transition from one year into the next. There is a certain relatability about this song as we close one year and begin a new one. So let me just remind you, some of you know the song well. Some of you, especially younger ones, maybe don't. But it goes like this. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. Hey Jude, don't carry the world upon your shoulders. Very relatable, I think. It's this happy-sounding song, if you're familiar with it. And yet the words betray that there's something more complicated going on underneath the surface. And indeed, that is the story behind the song, Hey Jude. Paul McCartney wrote it. And he wrote it in 1968 as he was driving out of London to visit a young boy who was devastated at his parents' divorce. That boy was five-year-old Julian Lennon, and his parents, John and Cynthia, were splitting up because of John's affair with Yoko Ono. And so Paul, kind of like this favorite uncle figure to Julian, he knew that Julian was really having a hard time with the divorce, and so he drove out to go visit him and to cheer him up. And as he drove out to Weybridge, to the Lennon residence, he wrote this song, Hey Jules, which is short for Julian, and then later was changed to, Hey Jude, don't be afraid. Don't carry the world upon your shoulders. Sometimes the new year gets a bit overly characterized, I think, as a chance for a fresh start. I mean, it is, but I also want to just suggest that when we flip the calendar from one year to the next, there's not always this new clean starting line. But in reality, the starting line and the transition are not so clear. You can wake up on January 1st and find that the realities and uncertainties and sorrows of 2019 have followed you right into the new year. And so what we want to do with the book of Jude this morning is to declare at the end of this year that there is something that rises above the changing tide and complexities of life. What we want to do this morning is to say there is a rock that is higher than I. There is truth to stand on. There is a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he has sustained us through 2019 and he will carry us into 2020. And so what I want to show you are two things in this text today. Number one, what God has said he will do. And number two, who God will always be. Those are the two things this morning in Jude 24 and 25. First, though, let's get our bearings with this unfamiliar book of the Bible. The first question we probably ask is, who is Jude anyway? I mean, I know this Jude. That one's familiar to me, Jude Law. But who is the Jude in the Bible? Well, Jude gives us a clue in the opening lines of his letter. And that's what this is. This book of the Bible is a letter to a group of Jewish Christians. So they're from a Jewish background, and they have trusted in Jesus as Savior, and they're following him. And in the opening line of first century letters, they started by stating, who's the author? Who is writing this letter? And so Jude 1 says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. So that's the clue right there, is that reference to James, because James was a key leader in the Jerusalem church. He was the author of the book of James and the brother of Jesus. So after Jesus' birth, Joseph and Mary over the years had children who were the brothers and sisters of Jesus. Matthew and Mark tell us about them. They name some of them, including Jude. So Jude is not only a brother of James, but you see here, if you read between the lines, what he's implying. What is he saying to us as we lean in and take a close look? He's saying he is also the brother of Jesus. Think about it. That's the biggest credential he could have listed. I mean, you can boss around a lot of people if Jesus is your big brother. And yet he doesn't do that. Instead, he does not consider himself worthy to even throw that out there as a title. Instead, he says, I am but a bondservant to Jesus Christ. It's a powerful statement. And that's our little intro to Jude. Brother of Jesus, brother of James. And here writing this little 25-verse letter that bears his name. And as we read through Jude, we can see that he is a skillful writer. The Greek is well-crafted. And though he starts in conventional fashion, he finishes in a way in 24 and 25 that pops off the page that would have caught their attention back then. Because you see, most letters ended with a benediction. You know that Bible word? It means it's a closing blessing. Most of the New Testament letters end that way with something that would be like, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That is a benediction, a blessing. But in Jude, we have what's called doxology. And that means he praises God. So benediction says, may God bless you. Doxology says, may God be praised. Both have their place, but in Jude, it's in praising God that we find our blessing. So as I said now, as we get to these verses, we're going to see two things. And by application, then, this will become very personal. The first thing is what God says to you that he will do. And secondly, who he will always be in 2019, in 2020, and forever. So let's get into these verses now, starting in Jude 24. And what God will do, the first half of our time together. It starts with the two words that really set it up and launch this whole thing into praise. It starts in 24 with the words, to him. That's where this is going. That's ultimately who this is going to be about. But before Jude finishes the sentence, before he just jumps to the end of it, he wants to say a couple things about what the to him will do. You follow me? Look at the first one. To him, here's the first, who is able to keep you from stumbling. And some translations say, to him who is able to keep you from falling. Have you been rock climbing before? Yeah, I know some of you have. I've rock climbed with some of our students. Younger adults probably have rock climbed. Over the past decades, it's a sport that continues to grow in popularity. There's places like Vertical Endeavors down in the cities. Or I think of Camp Chaminade and student retreats or family camp with its climbing walls and high ropes course. And if you've been climbing before, then you know what it feels like to be clinging to a rock wall by your fingers and toes, hanging on for dear life, and yet you know that you are roped into a harness, and there is someone down below whose sole job it is to keep you from falling. Even if you slip, even if your arms give out, you will be caught and kept from falling. Some of our older church family, you might know a different context for falling. Some of you, with the years now in your life, you have experienced the strength of your legs fading away. You have experienced your balance being unsteady. And you know the risk, the fear of what it would mean to fall, to stumble, to injure yourself, or simply to fall and not be able to get back up. Both of these images this morning of rock climbing and the fear of falling help us picture what Jude had in mind. Now, when he speaks of stumbling, what he has in mind is your faith. He's writing this letter because this group of Christ followers is at risk of falling away spiritually, of walking away from the faith. And even though we're 2,000 years later, I think we still get this. I mean, very much so. We see the general direction of the culture that we live in, and that to follow Christ is to be on a narrow road that isn't all that popular. Some of you are parents or grandparents, and you know what it means to be worried about the faith of your kids, to be worried about the future of the church in this country. Some of you who are students, I've talked to you, I know, I've talked with college students who come home and they're like, I don't think I know a single other Christian, I mean, somebody who's really following Jesus at my school. Some of us here, regardless of age, know personally what Jude is talking about, falling away from faith, because we've been down that road. And 2,000 years later, I mean, Jude, as you read through it, there's some very interesting parts of this letter, and yet this danger is still very much alive. And the way Jude describes it later in the letter, he says about his setting that there's false teaching that's found its way into the church. There are cultural pressures to compromise. There are believers who aren't holding fast to God's word, even though they might be well-intentioned. They're kind of like toddlers, like wobbly Christians who are not maturing and growing up in the faith and standing firm. And Jude can see that these followers of Jesus are at risk, as the years go by, of falling away from the faith. The big word for this, I don't know if you've heard it before, it sounds like, you know, from like a sci-fi movie you might run into it, is apostasy. That's a revelation-sounding word, isn't it? Apostasy. It means simply to walk away from Christ for good, to fall away. And Jude closes his little letter after a fair amount of admonishment, and he says, to him who will keep you from stumbling, to him who will keep you from falling. And this is huge. It offers incredible assurance to us, because it means that even your own perseverance in faith is not dependent on your strength. Your own ability to remain faithful to Christ is not ultimately a matter of your strength, but on Him who will keep you. You see that? Have you thought before much about this word? I honestly hadn't until I got to Jude. And it just took me on a rabbit trail to think about what it means that God is your keeper. This word keep. His keeping is a significant theme in the Bible. And I just never put it together before this week in reading Jude. And I just encourage you to study Scripture, and you can do that as well as I can. The Bible is for all of us. It's not just for pastors or quote-unquote spiritual people. But it's for all of us who are following Christ. And that's why Megan put together this great Bible reading plan for the new year. And so we want you to pick that up today. It's at the connections table, and after worship, you can pick this up. Project 51, it's called. We're also going to put it out digitally. You can watch social media for that over the coming couple of days. But we're going to study the New Testament and the Psalms together in this reading plan, because Bible study, thinking on God's word, is something for all of us. And here at the Y Church, we talk about three essentials that help us grow in our relationship with Christ. Three things. My wife was telling me a few things to pick up at the grocery store a couple days ago. And so, three things, she says, bananas, coffee, and bagels. And then based on experience, she looks at me and she says, do I need to write those down for you? And I said, no, three things, I can remember three things. If it was four things, we'd definitely have to write it down. But three things, I'm good. Well, what happens later? She added a fourth thing, and then she doesn't even ask. She immediately writes down a note with these four things on it. And I still messed up the bagels. But we can remember three things. And here are the three personal habits that we like to talk about. Worship, Scripture, and prayer. Worship, Scripture, and prayer. These three things. It's like offense, defense, and special teams. Or it's like bump, set, spike. However you need to remember it. These three things we want to take with us. I say this now to emphasize the middle one in this moment, that Scripture is a place where you can spend time and it will be so worth it. And so you could take the word keep, just that word, take the word keep and use a concordance or a study Bible or Google or whatever you need and look up all the places in the Bible where God speaks of his keeping. Can I give you a little jump start, a little sneak peek? Genesis. That's where this starts, this theme in the Bible. Genesis 28:15, listen to this. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And you could follow God's keeping from there all the way through the Bible to Revelation. By the time we get to Jude, we're in the second to last book of the Bible. And I want to just show you real quick how important this word is to what Jude is saying. So let's go back quick to the first verse where we started and we introduced Jude. We read there who the letter's from. He says first, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. And then next, in a first century letter, they always said, who's the recipient? Who am I writing to? And in Jude 1b, here is how Jude describes them. He says, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And do you see what this means from Jude 1 to Jude 24? This means that the whole letter is framed with the assurance that we are kept by God. You are kept for Jesus Christ by the one who will keep you from falling. Do you see that? That's his promise, that he is your keeper. He will keep you. And yet, go with me to Jude 20, and we'll put it up on the screen so we can see it. Jude loves the truth of this word keep, and so he picks it up again. Look at it in verse 20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Keep yourselves in God's love. And so we might think, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Is God my keeper or am I keeping myself? Which one is it? And the answer is yes. Yes. He alone is my keeper, and I keep myself in his love as I wait for him. It's a beautiful biblical truth. We can't reduce it down to one or the other. And it's not just in Jude. Psalm 16 starts off by saying, Psalm 16 says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. And then what does it say 7 verses later? It says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So he is my keeper, and I will keep my eyes always on him. Some of us try hard to keep ourselves from falling. And I know that there are some among us where that has been your situation, that faith for you has been this massive personal effort, this struggle, this battle to keep ourselves together. Like we're up on the wall, picture that rock climbing, right? And we're belaying ourselves at the same time. And guess what? That doesn't work. That's not the picture of God's keeping. That's not the promise. To him who is able to keep you from falling is the promise. And then there's more. Here's the other thing that he will do. And to present you, literally it says, to make you stand before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And you know what that sounds like to me is a description of the finish line. That's what we long for, is to one day finish the race that you have set out on and to be home in the presence of God. And it would be a terrible place to stand in our own sin in the presence of God's holiness were it not for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And we sing about this sometimes with these words. This is the song Cornerstone. You know it. You maybe have heard it on the radio. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, what's the next word? Faultless, stand before the throne. That's the gospel. That he will present you before God without fault and with great joy. The Phillips paraphrase of this verse says, without fault and with unspeakable joy. We're going to sing at the close of our worship service about God's unspeakable joy. It'll be our last Christmas song of the year. And these are the things that God says he will do for you. These are the things you can carry with you into 2020, that he will keep you from falling, and he will bring you home into the presence of God, blameless and brimming with joy. It's like sticking the landing of an impossible jump. That's what God will do. And he will do it, remember what we said the second thing was going to be? Because of who he has always been. That's the basis. The second part of the passage. Because his actions and his promises, what he says to you he will do, flows out of who he is, flows out of his character. And so listen to how Jude describes him in verse 25. To the only God, our Savior. There's a Christmas word, isn't it? To the one who saves us, who keeps us from falling. To him be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Glory is his fame and his resplendent beauty, like standing in the sun. Majesty is his greatness and how worthy he is of honor. Power and authority, two closely related things, aren't they? They mean that God is sovereign and in control in your life. I love how Tom Schreiner, he wrote this commentary on Jude, and here's how he puts it. He says, the direction of all things is in his hand. The direction of all things is in his hand. And how does that happen? What is the agent of these things? How do we see his glory and majesty and power and authority? It's the next part of the verse. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. N.T. Wright says, if you want to see who the true God is, then look long and hard at Jesus. If you want to see who the true God is, look long and hard at Jesus. When Jesus was born, when the Son of God put on flesh, then we could see in a way like never before who the true God is. Who he's always been and who he always will be. And that's where this whole doxology leads. It says, before all ages, now and forevermore. That covers everything. That is past, present, in this moment, and future. It's who God has always been and who he will always be. He is unchanging. His character doesn't change or shift with time. He will keep you from falling. He will bring you all the way home, he promises. There is therefore, it says in Romans 8, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but you will stand faultless with unspeakable joy before God your Savior. It is not too hard a thing for him to keep you. It is not too hard a thing. For to him belongs all glory and majesty and power and authority. So it is not too hard for him to keep you. The last word of the passage and the whole letter is the word, amen. Do you know what that word means? Ever thought about that word before? Does that mean the end? When we're done praying, or when the sermon's finally over, the end. Comes originally from the Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, and then they just took it into Greek and wrote it with Greek letters, and now we find it all over the world, in all kinds of languages. Wherever you find it, it mimics the Hebrew pronunciation of amen, and it means, I agree, so be it, let it be. And now we're back at Paul McCartney. I'm kidding. But I do want to finish with a song. It's a song of ascent in the Bible. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's Psalm 121, and it has a lot to say about the God who will keep you from falling. He has in 2019. He will in 2020.
And as you keep in his love, he will carry you all the way home. Listen to how many times, you don't have to count them, but just listen to how many times in these words he says that he will keep you. And I'd love for us just to pray this. And so would you bow your heads with me as we pray these words. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Indeed, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Let it be.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.